Previously on Adventure.
We began season three with our adventurers watching aghast as Thrace was sucked into a swirling black vortex. You made your way to the palace and into the throne room, where you met the acquaintance of Oryk. But as soon as you got a little salty with him, you heard the familiar noise and felt the ground open up under you as you began to drop down into a portal. As Redfield heads up, he sees a faint flickering light coming from what seems to be a cave in a mountain just across the way. You see what appears to be a grubby druid.
The name's Balak. Balak Brightwood.
And behind it, about 6 foot behind it, is the back wall of the cave. There's actually a small tunnel in the back of the cave. All you can see right now is it's approximately 3 foot high. It's about enough for single file, small humanoid to walk through. A regular sized, medium sized humanoid would have to crouch or crawl.
So, we have a small tunnel ahead of us, gentlemen.
Okay, Redfield just runs up to the tunnel and goes through it.
This is not a Wile E. Coyote tunnel.
It just painted on the wall? No.
Yeah.
So you crawl through this tunnel, and it's twists and turns, but it's definitely heading downwards. Just sloping downwards, and it appears to be going, you know, it's going into the mountain, but it's heading downwards. After about 150 feet, you come to a thick sheet of ice that's blocking the tunnel, but you do see that the tunnel continues on the other side. Now, what order did you go down this tunnel in? Redfield, you went straight for it.
I'm first.
Who else followed Redfield into this cave?
I peeked in first, so I might as well crawl around past him.
Okay, so Redfield, then Julian, then...
Balak's still outside.
Okay, so Hendley or someone should maybe, you know...
protect our flanks.
Or think about the guy that you said could come along with you and is just standing staring off of a cliff right now.
Where's Balak?
Hendley? I left him with Hendley. That's a mistake, wasn't it?
Was it literally my turn to watch him?
You were the last one in here. Who else is going to watch him?
All right.
Can you go get him, please?
Be right back.
All right, so I'm exiting and going to retrieve Balak.
Okay, so you have to back out because you can't just turn around and walk out of this tunnel. You're going to back yourself out. Beep, beep, beep.
All right, so I'm just very ever so daintily moving myself, inching back and inching back until I get out.
All right. I drew the shortest straw. I'm bringing it back with me.
And he, like, turns around and goes, oh, I thought it got quiet in there. I thought you guys just left.
I mean, that's what I wanted to do, if I'm being honest, but
thanks.
did you just thank me for being honest? Oh my god. All right. We got to go in here single file. Can't turn around. It's a one-way trip. And I'm going to let you lead the way.
He was just going to kind of like, again, awkwardly just be like, okay, thanks. And he starts walking toward the cave and the little, like, gem on his chest or, you know, necklace glows. Mm-hmm. And you see him turn into, like, a Black Panther and just darts into the tunnel.
What?
He just darts right into the tunnel.
All right, all of you, minds blown. I would like to... So... Hendley, you see this happen, but I would like to hear a reaction from Redfield and Julian when they hear behind them, not footsteps, but claws on rock.
And the rug flapping with me following too.
Yes.
Do you hear that, Redfield?
Redfield pulls out his sickle and turns and cocks it like he's going to throw it down the tunnel. Who is that? Hendley!
And you hear the scuffling for the claws for a while, and then he like turns back into his human form. And he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's just me. I forget. Not everyone can do that."
That was impressive.
You were probably maybe a second away from Julian sending out a 700-foot lightning bolt, destroying you.
Not far from the truth.
at every single hole in the entire mountain with you.
Yes, you might want to alert us to these things in future. Just saying.
I'm sorry. You guys are like the first like people I've really like talked to for more than like a couple minutes.
I never would have guessed that at all. You're very no social awkwardness.
Oh,
suave.
Oh, that's
suave.
Great. I think I'm so awkward.
You're great. Don't throw out weird vibes at all. With you know, like a you and your killer rug. It's all just really cool. I really, really liking it, man.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys are such jerks.
Why we don't make friends easily?
He's so sweet. You guys are such jerks.
So we've got a wall of ice here in front of us. Wait a second, Julian.
Come on, let me burn something.
Literally, I'm standing in front of you. So it's probably not the best course of action.
Yeah, it's so tight we're like crawling through it, right?
Exactly. It's single file, not enough room to change positions.
It does seem as if there's a tunnel beyond the ice.
There is a wall of ice and then a tunnel.
You're in front of me, they're behind me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I got a special gift on our trip here. I have a vial that's the potion of the Firestar that could grant you immunity to fire damage while I just blow the bejesus out of this ice. What do you think? You think it'll work? I just love setting things on fire. What can I tell you?
I love how Bob's character is like, why use a match when I can use
a
volcano?
Yeah. I know. I'll go like, I know how badly you want to use please. Your fire spell, but I also have a fire spell.
Oh, well, please. I love to see a craftsman at work.
Well, I'm glad you guys let me know that you guys are pyromaniacs.
Well, do you have another way to get rid of this ice, Balak?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, we could warm it up with the rug, but that could take some time. So I think we could try something else.
Okay. So we all got to back up about 10 feet. So let's do that first.
Okay. And is Henley right behind Balak?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Sure. Well, I he totally sure like kick backward and just kind of like hit you. Oh, sorry.
Hey, rude.
Back up. There's going to be fire flying down from the heavens in about 2 seconds.
Fine. And he like picks up the pace and is like shuffling to you know, put the gas on.
All right. We get 10 feet back and I cast Flame Strike. A vertical column of divine fire roars down from the heavens in a location you specify. Each creature in a 10-foot radius and a 40-foot-high cylinder centered on a point within range must make a dexterity saving throw. We're all out of the range, so we're good.
Yep.
It is... well, the ice wall would have to make a dex save, so...
Right. No. The ice wall... there's nothing weird about this ice wall. It's simply an ice wall.
Okay, so I cast it. Flame strike.
A wall of flame comes down and very, very quickly melts away this ice and scorches the sides of this tunnel. And the way is free and clear, and you see the tunnel continues downwards.
Thankfully, so the water goes downwards and not over us.
Let me ask you, the height of the tunnel.
Yes.
Is Redfield having to crawl? Or
Redfield is basically just having to like duck his head
duck
a little
head
bit.
A little bit. Okay.
But he's walking. But Henley is, Julian is definitely hunched over. So you are crawling through this tunnel, having overcome the wall of ice. You are crawling through this tunnel. It is still heading downwards, but seems to be heading more towards the outside of this mountain, if your senses are helping you out at all. After a couple more turns, you start to hear water running. Just a gentle drip, drip, and, you know, like, damp area. The tunnel opens onto a... or opens into, like, a large cave. Sorry. You're able to come out of the tunnel and stand up. And it's probably about 50 feet high, 50 to 100 feet wide. So it's a nice big space. The walls are dripping. There's stalactites and stalagmites, and it's just a big old cave. Now, towards away from where you emerge from this tunnel, it drops off. And there's water running down a slope. And that's all you can see from where you're standing right now.
Shall we head across and see what's below the slope and whether we can continue downwards?
I think that's a great idea, Julian. Let's do it.
Okay, so you walk over to the edge. You see as much as you've said, as I've said before. It's just dark. But if you would care to roll an investigation check, I can tell you whether you're able to sense anything else from this.
Well, I will do that because I was able to get the most info last time.
Yes.
And it's an 18.
It is an 18. Nice.
This is on which modifier?
14 plus...
plus 7.
Okay, 21. Okay. Balak, did you roll?
9.
Okay.
I mean, yes.
So, Balak looks out and sees a very large cave. That's it.
okay.
Redfield looks out. He sees about 100 feet below. You can see there's kind of a dim gray light coming through, and there's a breeze of sulfury air. Now, when Julian and Henley look, they see the same thing, but they are both able to glance off to the side and barely visible in the gloom and kind of camouflaged against the wall. There is a long knotted rope securely fastened to a metal hook in the wall and seems to descend the length of this slide, or Goonies-esque water slide, as I put in my notes.
Guys.
So Hendley and Julian see this. It's up to them whether they would like to share this information.
Redfield, I think we have a way down. There's a rope here that looks long enough to go all the way to the bottom of this. Would you like to chance this?
Always.
I thought as much.
You're saying we could go all the way.
I'm saying, yes, there is a secure, safe way down, or there is the Goonie-esque water slide. So Redfield sees that you could safely slide down this. Into what? He doesn't know, but right. You can slide.
A dim light down at the bottom.
Yes, okay. Dim light and a sulfury breeze.
A sulfury breeze.
A sulfury breeze. Mm. Hey. Nothing like waking up in the mornings for a nice sulfury breeze.
It smells like hell.
Great name for a deodorant soap, right?
Exactly. But, so he sees that, then Julian and Hendley spot this knotted rope.
You tell me what your thoughts are. I've got a couple of my own.
That's novel, but sure, tell us, Hendley.
No, I want to know what you... I was talking to Redfield, Julian.
Oh, okay. Balak.
What's up?
Let me pose a hypothetical question to you. You have two choices.
Okay.
You can take a safe, let's face it, kind of boring way, down a precipice.
Okay.
Or you can kind of take a more dangerous, but let's face it, way more fun way of getting down. Basically a water slide that takes you down. Both ways take you down into a dimly lit pit that smells like sulfur. Which would you choose?
Well, are we going down there?
I said it's a hypothetical,
Alec. Oh, you bet your ass.
I would just kind of like, probably just walk down there.
That's not one of the options I gave you.
But I can.
I will. Let's let him walk down there, guys. Go ahead.
Okay. And you see him take, like, he has, like, a little pouch, and he takes, like, I guess if you're looking close enough, you can see it's a spider and, like, a little rock, and he, like, kind of, like, does a little chant, and he attempts, Jackie, to use spider climb and then just start walking down. It's a second-level spell. One willing creature, which I'm 95% sure can be yourself.
Yes.
You can ability to move up, down, and across vertical surfaces and upside down along ceilings while leaving your hands free.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely going to let you do that. You are going to crawl spider-like down this what appears to be slippy, slidey glass water slide. You are going to walk down it like it's sticky glue.
And he walks a couple of feet and he goes, but you guys... You guys had other options, right?
Oh, I don't like that. That's a little bit of a dig at us, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Nicely played, though. Go, you enjoy. We'll meet you at the bottom.
Okay, I'll go check it out. Now, Balak is already making his way down this slope. So I can either tell you what Balak finds at the bottom, or I can wait until you guys decide what you would like to do. Now, it's far enough that using conventional means, he is not going to be able to communicate back to you what he finds.
All right, so Redfield takes a couple steps back, looks at Julian, looks at, what's your name, Henley?
Thank you.
And says, well, you only live once. And he goes running headfirst and just dives headfirst down the slide and going, whoopee!
So Redfield hits this thing, making the aforementioned whoopee sound. He comes plummeting down the slide, comes flying past Balak, who is pretty much at the bottom now. You see that you're emerging onto the outside of this mountain, and in front of you, unfortunately, you're also sliding uncontrollably into a copse of what looks like pine trees.
Hello, listeners. This is Justin coming at you for a quick intermission of the episode. Wanted to apologize for this episode being much later than usual. Bobby and I just had some things that we kind of had to take care of and just didn't have some time for editing. So sorry about that. But if you're listening, if you're binging all this, I guess that doesn't really matter. But if you're listening week to week, we appreciate you sticking on board. Thanks again for the cast and speaking on behalf of all of them. Thanks for listening. And real quick before I send it back, I mentioned something about my friend Andy Philhart, who worked on the character sheets for us for this season. And I just want to give a quick shout out. He has a Patreon thing going on where he uses tarot cards to make NPCs. It's patreon.com/8bittarot. And check it out. Pretty interesting stuff. I'm going to start using some for my game. And again, thanks for listening. And always, if you're doing something like this, check out Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio and use them for your games too. Cheers.
As you land in these trees, however, you realize...
Wait. Don't hey, excuse me.
Oh, no. Uncontrollably sliding.
Excuse me. I do have a weapon I could use to try to...
Oh, all right. I'll give you that option, but you're going to need to roll a 20 to avoid that.
A 20? A nat 20?
The whole... the deal with the devil is... You are sliding uncontrollably down this thing.
Okay,
you cannot get a grip. There's no ice. You know, there's no... there's no, nothing to grip onto.
That's what you think.
All right, give it a go.
That's what you think, DM.
You don't even know what I can do, okay?
All right, so as you're sliding uncontrollably and you hit the bottom of this thing.
Let me ask you, yes. How long before I hit the bottom?
About 100 feet.
Do I see the fact that there are a bank of trees coming at me?
Not until you hit the bottom. So basically the slide is kind of encased in the cave, and it's not until
So it's like a water slide where it's like inside
exactly.
At the end
and
it opens up.
And then you hit that last 10 feet and you realize there's like a small, small ledge. And then at the other side of this ledge, or not even a ledge, it's a small patch of ground on the ground.
Okay.
And just at the back side of it is a copse of trees.
Okay. So I'm still on water. I'm about to hit the bottom. What do you think? I have like a second?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A turn, if you will.
A turn.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cast Control Water.
Okay. All right. There's a chance this will work, but it's not flowing water. It's slippery, slidey water.
Until the spell ends, you control any freestanding water inside an area you choose as a cube up to 100 feet on a side.
Freestanding?
I can cause flowing water in that area to move in a direction you choose.
Okay.
Even if the water has to flow over obstacles, up walls, or in other unlikely directions.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want to cast the spell, take the water, and basically create like a... like almost like a ramp for myself to slow down my progress.
Yeah.
Not a flat wall because I don't want to like pull right.
Like, but just
wall
enough
of water
to slow you right down so you very stylishly come to a stop.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
The
and then I can roll another save. If you want me to roll another save, try to see if I can land more stylishly. But But I'm gonna cast this spell. I know what.
Yes. If you hit this, the basic upshot of it will be you just will not hit into those trees. Right.
Right. Yes.
Depending on your roll, we'll see how graciously you land. But
okay. Yeah. All right. I don't think I did it.
What's your roll?
A one.
A one. You throw your hands out to cast a spell and it goes and really doesn't work. Doesn't really do much to slow your progress at all. Okay. So you come flying past Balak, who by this point is pretty much, he is stepping gracefully onto the ground.
He waves and smiles.
Exactly. As Redfield comes flying past.
Can I reach for his leg?
You can actually. I'll give you that. If you want to.
No, because if I do that, I'm going to just take him with me.
Yeah, but it will slow down. You might take him out.
Yeah, but Redfield's not that big of an asshole. He's not going to cause physical harm.
I'll give you the choice.
verbal harm, not so much physical harm.
Okay. So as you come flying past, you're sliding uncontrollably into a copse of what looks like pine trees. As you
remember
land...
Remember me how I was!
As you land in these trees, however, you realize they're not trees at all, but a horde of needle blights. You can look it up if you want. Luckily, horde is an exaggeration. There's five. But still, they're pissed, and they're going to attack you right now.
It's almost as if Jackie has created situations to completely counteract my usual way of playing.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited she doesn't know my way of playing.
Yeah, this is true. Well, Balak is the only one down there with Redfield right now. So I am going to have one of them attack. Okay. The one that you hit square on is going to attack Redfield.
Okay.
And then we're going to roll for order, but I am going to give Hendley and Julian a chance to get down there.
Okay. So Hendley looks over at Julian and goes, I'm not sure that was a great idea.
No, is this that screaming we heard at the bottom after the whoopee? I don't think that went as well as we could.
No. You guys have no idea what happened to me down there. Do not try to play that game, all right?
No.
We heard whoopee, and then...
No. He says that. He says, I'm not so sure that was a great idea. And then says, but what do I want now? And he just jumps down the water slide.
All right, good. There you go.
Head first.
Okay, so at this point, Hendley comes flying through and hits Needle Blight number two square on. And now they're both pissed because two idiots have come flying into them. So Needle Blight number one is going to attack, and he's going to attack Redfield.
Uh-oh.
All right, he is going to simply reach a branch out and smack him one. One.
It's not going to hit me.
It's not going to hit you. So Blight number one reaches back and swings wildly at Redfield, who ducks. And it misses. Needle Blight number two watches this, but is also not happy because Hendley came flying into him. So he's going to attack Hendley. And that is a 9. Plus 3. So that's a 12.
That is not going to hit.
That's not going to hit. So he swings wildly at Hendley, who also ducks. And now we're going to roll for order.
And before we do,
yes.
Hanley looks at Redfield and goes, this fucking guy.
I rolled a 10 plus 3, so it's a 13.
Okay, that's a hit.
No, it's not a hit.
Oh, sorry.
It's an order. We're doing order.
Right.
13. 13 for Redfield. So yeah. is it just going to be me and Hendley for now?
It's going to be you, Hendley, and Balak, because he's down there too.
Okay.
but Julian will have the opportunity now to join.
Just standing at the top, like, just, I don't know. Yeah.
He has watched all of you idiots. Like, he has watched Balak, like, nicely walk down there, and you two idiots jump off. So, Julian, you have a chance.
I'll try that rope. I think I'm going to.
Okay,
go,
so in
go
that
a
case,
long way down.
In that case, Julian is going to climb down the rope that he saw, and he's taken the wiser move. But he is going to miss a turn in this battle because that's how long it's going to take him to get down there.
Makes sense.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. It's always consequences, Mr. Slow Coach over there. Yeah. All right, Balak, what did you roll?
14.
14. And Henley?
A 5.
Okay. Now I am gonna. Should I roll for all five to go?
Yes.
Or?
That's what you do.
Okay. So 12. I got 12. All right. So in that case, Balak is first. Oh. He got 14. So Balak is gonna see this happening, and you are gonna step in, and it's your turn.
Okay, am I closer than 30 feet?
Yes, you are. Yeah.
So I am going to just use one of my cantrips, Thorn Whip. I got a 3, so I imagine that probably doesn't hit. a 10. I imagine that doesn't hit.
No. That does not hit.
So you do see him, like a vine come up with like thorns on it,
okay,
and come up and tries to attack
and misses.
Yep.
Okay, so Balak has a go at trying to get him, but he too misses.
I tried.
This so far is not a successful fight on either side. People are just swinging wildly at each other with undergrowth. So somebody needs to step up here. Redfield. So there's 5 of them in a copse close together. Because they're in a copse.
Give me the radius of area in which they...
10 feet.
Perfect.
Small. It's a small little copse of needle blights.
Okay. So, I'm going to cast Flame Strike again.
Okay.
A vertical column of divine fire roars down from the heavens. In a location you specify, each creature in a 10-foot radius, a 40-foot-high cylinder centered on a point within range must make a dexterity saving throw. A creature takes 4d6 fire damage and 4d6 radiant damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one.
Okay, so I'm also going to give you advantage on this because they are particularly susceptible to fire damage.
Because they like plants, right?
So I will give you advantage. I'll give you advantage on the roll.
Okay, so... I guess you would give yourself disadvantage, I guess.
Okay.
Dexterity saving throw.
Okay, so yeah, I'll give myself disadvantage. What do I have to beat?
Be a 12.
That's a 13, so I'm probably not going to get that one. 4.
4 plus, what's your dex modifier?
Plus 1. So
okay.
5.
Boom, baby.
Okay, go on.
So I'm going to roll, I guess, who wants to keep count for me?
Oh, sure, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, 3. 6, 3.
All right, we're good.
5. All of them?
Yeah. No, actually, how do you divvy out the damage?
They all take the damage.
They all take
well,
the same
so
amount
close
of.
Together.
So they're in the radius, so
okay.
It doesn't matter.
So then, yeah, we're good.
Well, let me see what I would have gotten.
You can do that.
I rolled 4 already.
Yep.
Okay. 1, 2.
That's 6.
Oh, it's 8.
Yeah.
3. 4.
27.
Okay, so you once again rain fire from the heavens and reduce this pile of needle blights to just a smoldering pile of ash on the floor. And, you know, they scream a little as it happens, I'm just going to say. You know, they were minding their own business before you two idiots came flying into them, but other than that...
It attacked us first, okay?
So they are piles of ash. Absolute piles of ash. So,
And I want to say,
yes.
through the slide, through the face plant into the needle brush, and through the spell, cigarette still in,
yes.
in Redfield's mouth. I want to make that
jaunty,
very clear.
A jaunty angle, no less.
Yeah. I
right.
expect nothing less.
So, now this is the interesting thing. Now the fight is over in the first turn. Julian emerges from...
Say, what did I miss?
holding on to the rope that he very carefully climbed down, Julian emerges from the mouth of this cave slide and joins all of you at the bottom.
Nice of you to join us, Jay.
Sorry, I tried to be safe. It looks like you didn't need me as a turtle. What happened down here?
I took care of it.
I'll let you decide if that's true or not.
Yeah, I know better, yes.
Okay, so...
Henley's still on his ass from flying those.
So as you look around, you're on the ground. There's mountains all around you. It's still very gray and very dark. But you are beyond the abyss, and you are now in a land of... again, there's really no plants other than these things that aren't really plants. It's a very dead land. To your left is a cliff wall, the cave and the slide and the mountain that you came from. And to your right is a winding path leading through a chasm.
What was the first option again?
The first option was the mountain slide you came from.
I think we should go back up the mountain slide.
Yes. it looked fun, but I'm glad I missed that part.
I guess we're going
right
down that path. Does anybody have any, like, spells they can use to detect if there's any
magic?
Nasty business?
Magic, I can. Okay. Let's try that.
I'd have to do, like, another, like, you know, it'd take me a while, but yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Do you guys got anything you can do?
We're more of like a gotta happen now sort of situation, so.
Yeah. No. I get that.
It's going to be a really great match.
Druids, man.
It's dispel magic. What do you think? Out of character.
I mean, you could do it. If there's any magic, it'll be gone.
So let's do that.
Okay.
Choose one creature, object, affect any spell, third level or lower, ends for fourth. So I have to make an ability check using spellcaster ability.
Now, what are you actually picking to dispel the magic?
Well, in front of us, it isn't just air. It's this sulfuric miasma in front of us. But I can sort of touch it.
Okay. All right. It's a stretch, but I'll give it to you.
So, where was I at here? An ability check. That's a 6.
It should be plus 7, right?
Plus 7,
so
total.
13.
Yeah.
Okay. So you cast a spell magic, and it works because there wasn't any.
Nice. Okay. All right.
Carry on.
All right. Let's just walk down the path, guys. I tried to play it safe. It didn't work out.
It's okay. It was worth trying.
All right.
All right. So, yes. Go back.
Real quick, Balak, after seeing like Julian do some magic, he kind of like looks over and he's like, "Oh, it's nice to see another human magic user. We'll have to trade some trade some spells at some point."
All right, so you follow this path through the chasm, twisting and winding, but there's really no way other than forward. After a little while, you start to smell smoke. And as you turn a bend in the path up ahead, about 200 meters, you see an overhang. And under the overhang is a group of large humanoid figures crouching over a campfire. Now, you're about 200 meters away.
How many folks there?
It's a group of large humanoid figures as well.
They're too far
right
for
now
us to be able to tell yet. Okay, so I'm going to say two things. One, don't trust the large humanoids around the campfire in the hell dimension as a rule.
Yeah.
But two, maybe we should not go up there and just start swinging. I'm going to try to sneak up there all stealthy-like. And attempt to hear what's going on, and maybe we can figure out what's the deal.
Good plan. Henley?
Shh.
That's it.
Do you have some problems getting out what you have to say sometimes, too? And he looks over at Henley.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I talked about this way back when we first started, so I'm not even sure if you remember it, but I have a thing called a cloak of elvenkind that when I put the hood up gives me, well, you wear this cloak and it's hood up, wisdom perception checks made to see you have disadvantage, and you have advantage on dexterity stealth checks. Made to hide, as the cloak's color shifts to camouflage, you pulling the hood up or down requires an action. I mean, we're not in combat right now, so. Right. So I pull the hood up on, Redford pulls the hood up on his cloak, and starts to sneak up towards this group of humanoids.
Okay, so you get to within about 50 meters of them.
Wait, what's the terrain like, by the way?
It's just that same chasm. It's just that as you turn the corner, there's still walls on either side of you, but ahead of you is the overhang that the path kind of goes past.
Okay.
So it's like a natural little... what's it called? Natural little...
Like alcove? Or
yeah.
Like so any alcove, sort of natural cover that there is...
yes.
Attempting to hide behind...
Well, that's what they're in. They're in that alcove.
Right.
So once you get to within about 50 meters and you can see, I just want you to roll a quick stealth check to see whether they see you.
Plus... Hold on. Plus 312.
Okay. So you get within about 50 meters and... You sneak a little closer still and a little closer still. You can't really hear what they're saying, but you are able to lean against the cliff wall and blend into it. And even though you can't hear what they're saying, you can see that there are five figures around the fire, and they're all dragonborn. Three of the figures are crouched next to the fire, seemingly for warmth, but two are laid down on makeshift cots and don't seem to be awake. When you look closer, you realize the closest prone figure is Thrace.